Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh-Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. Joining me today at the Roundtable is Jamie Sweeney. Jamie is an artist. She is also the owner of Juniper Art Gallery, which is on the south side of historic Courthouse Square in Spencer, Indiana. And the website for Juniper Art Gallery is juniperartgallery.com. And in the video, I'll have that on a little like plaque, you know, that goes across the screen so people can see it in case I mumble, you know. But Jamie, I thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so excited to talk to you because I read your bio on the website, and I'm so excited to have you talk a little bit about your personal art journey and as a professional artist and as a professional gallery owner. So I'm envisioning that this interview is going to be like a two-part: Jamie the artist, Jamie the gallery owner. So with that in mind, I know you've been doing art, living art, breathing art since you were a child. So let's start with childhood and tell me, you know, how was that for you? Did you know that early on that art was going to be your passion, your life, your medium of choice for the world?
Yes, I did. I would say that from day one, as soon as I was old enough to hold a pencil or a paintbrush, I was making art. And I have to credit my awesome and amazing artist parents for that, because they were both working artists.
Although
my mother spent, you know, many years raising four daughters.
Oh, and yeah, so that's a full-time job right there. Yeah.
Yes, but you know, every minute of those years she was raising us, she was also being creative in some way, whether it's sewing our clothes or, you know, making us dolls
and
toys.
Gosh.
And I remember she made us this amazing zoo one day for one Christmas. I mean, she was just so creative. So although she didn't get to have a real professional career during my youth and my sister's youth, she was always modeling creativity to us. Now, my father.
Now let me stop you right there. First of all, give us their names.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, yes. No, that's okay. I meant to ask that right off the bat because I knew they're professional artists and I wanted to mention that. But go ahead and tell us their names. And we'll talk more about them when we talk about the gallery. But for now, just tell us their names and what were their main mediums if they had one.
So my mother's name was Margaret L. Sweeney, and her main medium in life was working in clay, terracotta sculpture, beautiful busts and just amazing work she did. My father was Paul J. Sweeney. They're both gone now. And he was just a Renaissance man as far as he worked in all media and taught all different classes in every media you can imagine. But he was known, very, very well known, as a fine, transparent watercolorist.
And that
is his main legacy of work he's left behind, although there's sculpture and all sorts of other things.
Yeah, well, okay, we'll come back to them more as professional artists when we talk about the gallery. But go ahead and continue telling us about your journey from as a child in this environment that just sounds amazingly creative and supportive for the arts, and that's not always typical, you know.
I have to say it's a little hard for me to extricate them from any conversation about my youth because they were so central to my creativity and encouraging. They like provided all four children. We had every art, you know, it's utensil that we would ever need. I mean, it was ridiculous how
They encouraged you to have a diverse mediums and try crayons, watercolor, you know, acrylics, sculpture, whatever.
Legos, we'll build a vehicle.
That's right,
But it was like, they were just very, very encouraging. And so I don't know if more than my other sisters, but maybe in my youth more mm-hmm. than them. I really took that and ran, and I couldn't ever really imagine that I would do anything other than be an artist was kind sure. of my entire
you knew that. Yeah.
trajectory. I'd say that the only other thing that I equally, and I don't even know if it's quite equal, but very, very close with creating artwork was writing. I love yeah. to write. I can remember I would illustrate these little children's, you know, I'd illustrate stories that I'd make up, and every page had a drawing that went with the story I was telling. Yeah.
I don't think it sounds to me like you couldn't have escaped the destiny of becoming a professional artist.
No, and you know, it's really funny because I was so obsessed with either being outside, because I was also they were nature artists, and okay. we were very, very grounded in nature, and I would play outside or I'd be inside drawing. And mm-hmm. I can remember asking my mother one time, it was so funny now when I look at it back in retrospect, I said, "Mom, there is something wrong with my friend Brenda." Mm-hmm. I said, she just doesn't want to draw. I mean, it's just like, and I remember, I'm like,
there's nothing wrong with her. She's ill. Yeah.
She's, I said, you know, we draw
she's not healthy.
I said, we draw together for like half an hour and then she wants to do something else. I don't know what's wrong with her. But I mean, I think of that now and seriously asked my mother what was wrong with her because that was all I can, you know, that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah. So. Well, and I think a born artist, that's how they feel. They feel it is like breathing, you know, mm-hmm. which you got to do all the time, right? So
right.
I respect that. I respect that, the child in you that was like that. Yeah. So now I know you you started out in Indianapolis, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about Indianapolis and then getting into Southern Indiana and all that and how those locations impacted your art and your, mm-hmm. I keep saying journey. I don't know what other word to use.
Well, it has been a journey. I mean, it's been a journey with lots of twists and turns that might have been unexpected, but it's been wonderful. You know, it's mm-hmm. been a creative life. So one of the things that we did as a family in my childhood was back when Nashville, Indiana and Brown County was actually a real artist colony in the 60s,
mm-hmm.
My dad and mom would take us down to their friends' studios, and we would go to the hills, you know, and we'd go to their cabins and their studios. And that just like really, really, really had an impact on me because my family is from Indianapolis. I grew up there. And my extended family on my mother's side is all from even further north, like up in Logansport area.
Oh, okay.
Little flatlands.
Much, so yeah. I can remember very different landscape.
I can remember the first time coming down to Brown County. My eyes must have been this big.
And
I
was like, those roads are like,
it was so cool. And it was just like, mountains.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? It's like I exactly. see the mountains. But, you know, it's kind of interesting because years later, after Pop was gone, I would talk to my mom and she'd say, oh yeah, we'd go down and see Marie Goth and BJ Cariani and all these people that were friends with my dad. And I'm just like,
now you know their names were famous. Yeah.
And to me it was just like
dad's friends.
But, you know?
But it was something that era in Southern Indiana, in places like Brown County and Nashville and all that, that's hard for people to envision what that was like if they didn't experience it. And mm-hmm. so what you experienced was the living artist living the artist life right there. I mean, this isn't an urban setting. This is a, like you use the word colony, and that's very indicative of the atmosphere of community and that they were bonded and banded together mm-hmm. to produce artwork and share it and, you know, support each other and congratulate each other on jobs well done and stuff like that. It was a very interesting time and place. And I think that you are amazingly fortunate to have that in your childhood, especially with such a close connection through your parents. So that to me is a very fascinating part of your personal story, because mm-hmm. I can't even imagine how that would have affected you. Oh, I mean, like, I think if I'd had that in my childhood, my parents were both very artistic, but it wasn't public. They weren't professional mm-hmm. artists. But they painted and all kinds of stuff. My dad was a craftsman, you know, furniture and wood. And I mean, but it was all just for us. It wasn't for public, you know. So I was supported and encouraged in loving art and wanting to create things. But I didn't have that visual or experience of actual real life artists working at art.
Right.
That
right.
to me was something that was in the art history textbooks, you know?
So I was really fortunate in that regard. And also when I was really young, up until I was about 8 years old, we lived on Kenwood Avenue in Indianapolis. And that was really close to Butler School.
Yes.
School. And my dad back then did a lot of theater background backdrops and, and my mother helped with that. So we would have, what I remember so clearly about my childhood was these cast parties that my parents would host at our house just a few blocks from the college. And we'd have, like, I remember when the Fantastics were playing and all the people came to have a party at our house and there'd be Broadway music playing. I remember they always made us girls stay upstairs. We couldn't come down when they're having their big artist parties because I think they were kind of wild.
Well, probably.
But we would all four of us sit at the top of the stairs and peek down,
And
I can just remember the music and the piano playing and the singing and the dancing. And my dad was an amazing singer. So it was just like
everywhere the air was full of art for you.
Yes.
That's
music,
such an amazing
dance,
environment.
Singing. Yes. Yeah. It was so nurturing in that regard.
Stay tuned for the rest of our interview with Jamie Sweeney of Juniper Art Gallery.